Well, hello, this is Bob Sutherland from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from a number of sources, business section of the News and Observer, the Wall Street Journal, some Bloomberg, Reuters, the TBJ, Triangle Business Journal. But today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency. They have served our community so well since 1974 and can be reached by dialing 919-781-1973. Well, news here in the last day announces that an insurance company, global insurance company Arch Capital Services, plans to bring 365 jobs to Wake County after receiving an incentive package worth more than $5.4 million from state and local governments. Raleigh was competing with Atlanta for the jobs, which were characterized as a consolidation of Arch Capital's offices in New Jersey and New York. The average annual wage for the jobs is $109,000, and the jobs are expected to be added over a four-year period. Arch Capital Services is based in White Plains, New York. Its parent, Arch Capital Group, has headquarters in Bermuda. The company has offices across the world that sell insurance, reinsurance, and mortgage insurance. The North Carolina jobs will be part of a new operations hub in Raleigh, according to Governor Roy Cooper's office. The Job Development Investment Grant, approved by the Economic Investment Committee on Tuesday, was worth up to $5.1 million. Because Wake is considered a Tier 3 county, the company's JDIG agreement includes a contribution of up to $1.7 million to the state's Industrial Development Fund's utility account. The account helps rural counties fund infrastructure projects. In addition, Wake was required to include a local incentive worth $138,000, and Raleigh was required to pitch in $186,000. The incentives will be paid only if the company meets its hiring and investment goals. Now, Arch Capital currently employs about 575 people in North Carolina, but operates primarily in Jersey City and Morristown, New Jersey, and White Plains. The Commerce Department said consolidating locations is one prong of Arch's broader focus on operations efficiency. The overall attractiveness of the area, combined with our existing operations in North Carolina and the incentives offered by the state, were all factors in our decision to create an operational hub in Raleigh, so said Arch Capital President and CEO Mark Grandison. He goes on to say, this region offers a talented and educated labor force, a collaborative business environment, and an appealing quality of life for our employees. Many of its existing North Carolina jobs in Greensboro, where the U.S. mortgage insurance operations are, said Greg Hare, Senior Vice President of Branding and Employee Communications Services at Arch Capital. Along with bringing 365 jobs to Raleigh, Arch Capital's incentive is contingent on $12.9 million of capital investment. The company is in negotiations on a lease, though it was not ready to disclose the location of its future Raleigh office. Well, the White House and the Department of Agriculture announced Tuesday a $12 billion package of emergency aid for farmers caught in the midst of President Donald Trump's escalating trade war in the latest sign that growing tensions between the United States and other countries will not end soon. Trump ordered Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue to prepare a range of options several months ago, amid complaints from farmers that their products faced retaliatory tariffs from China and other countries. The new package of government assistance funds announced Tuesday would go into effect in September. The aid package will target soybean farmers, dairy farmers, and pork producers, among others. White House officials hope it will temporarily quiet some of the unease from farm groups but the new plan could revive debates about taxpayer-funded bailouts and the degree to which Trump's trade strategy is leading to unforeseen costs. Farm groups have complained that moves by China and other countries in response to Trump's protectionist trade stance could cost them billions of dollars, spooking Republicans who fear a political and economic blowback to Trump's approach. China and Mexico have imposed tariffs on U.S.-produced pork this year in retaliation for Trump's tariffs. The money would be extended just as voters in some of the most heavily impacted states are preparing to cast votes in the midterm elections. There are several key Senate races in farm-dependent states like Missouri, North Dakota, and Indiana this November, and the outcome of those races could determine who controls the chamber next year. The White House has searched for months for a way to provide emergency assistance to farmers without backing down on Trump's trade agenda, and the new program will extend roughly $12 billion through three different mechanisms run by the Department of Agriculture. Officials said the assistance was calculated to match the estimated $11 billion of economic damage that retaliatory tariffs will inflict on U.S. farmers. Well, Comcast drops the Fox bid, paving way for sale to Disney. Cable and broadband giant Comcast said Thursday it was abandoning its bid to acquire a major chunk of 21st Century Fox, but would continue its push to win control of the British satellite broadcaster Sky, a move that ended a complex bidding war for Rupert Murdoch's media company. In a statement, Comcast said it, quote, does not intend to pursue further the acquisition of the 21st Century Fox assets and instead will focus on our recommended offer for Sky. Comcast has been locked in a battle with Disney for the bulk of Murdoch's Fox empire, with the cable company submitting a $65 billion offer for the assets last month. But Disney brushed back Comcast's offer with a higher bid of $71.3 billion, which Murdoch and his board quickly accepted. Shareholders for both Disney and Fox will vote on the proposed merger on July 27. Attracting businesses and finding the skilled workers to sustain them are top concerns for an influential group of North Carolinians, but the specter of fallout from trade wars and tariffs looms over an otherwise rosy picture. As part of an ongoing series, a group of 60 North Carolina influencers comprised of leaders in the state's political, business, academic, and faith communities was asked about what they think are the biggest economic issues facing the state. The influencers, and that's spelled with a capital I, the influencers were asked to rank topics including attracting and retaining businesses, improving job skills training, cutting tax rates, increasing wages for lower and middle class workers, getting jobs to North Carolina's rural areas, and trade tensions resulting from President Trump's tariffs. Kit Kramer, CEO of the Asheville Area Chamber of Commerce, stated, jobs follow talent, so policymakers should double down on investment in education and job training. A majority of the survey respondents ranked attracting and retaining businesses or improving job skills training as the most urgent issues. Please excuse me. Let me repeat that paragraph. A majority of the survey respondents ranked attracting and retaining businesses or improving job skills training as the most urgent issues facing North Carolina's economy. There was broad agreement on those points, though Democrats tended to favor more investment in job training programs and schools, while Republicans emphasize the need to keep taxes and regulations low. Well, while we're on the subject of tariffs, Governor Cooper said this week that he asked President Trump to halt the trade war because it is harming North Carolina's farmers and manufacturers. In a letter to the Republican president, Democrat Cooper said escalating tariffs have already damaged the state's pork and tobacco farms, and that manufacturers could suffer from rising steel and aluminum prices. Now, while North Carolinians support a level playing field for exports, the tariffs imposed by the U.S. administration and retaliation by trading partners seem to uniquely target agriculture goods that are the foundation of our state's economy, Governor Cooper wrote. Last month, the Trump administration sharply increased taxes on steel and aluminum imported from Canada, Mexico, and the EU, that is, European Union. The administration argued that imports from those countries had weakened the U.S.'s ability to build arms and equipment for the military. The countries retaliated by raising tariffs on American goods. Now, Canada is North Carolina's top international trading partner. North Carolina exported $6.6 billion worth of goods to the neighboring country last year, which was more than the value of goods it sent to the next two top customers, Mexico and China, combined. That's according to the U.S. Census Bureau. An estimated 247,000 jobs in this state are supported by businesses with Canada, and the Canadian government reported this week. Cooper says the retaliatory tariffs pose a risk to $210 million in annual pork exports to Mexico and China, and $340 million in tobacco exports to Turkey, the European Union, and China. North Carolina also has $36 million worth of aluminum and $240 million worth of steel exports to Canada and the European Union, according to Cooper's letter. The governor goes on to say that notes that steel and aluminum exports from those countries are just a small part of the state's $4 billion fabricated metal manufacturing industry. However, the tariffs will still increase production costs. He goes on to say, our state's farmers, manufacturers, and technology industries remain worried, and rightly so. Please use your power to stop the losses from retaliatory tariffs and indirect effects to keep our state's economy strong. U.S. Representative Mark Meadows, a Republican, said on Thursday that he has heard of concerns from manufacturers who oppose the tariffs, but grassroots voters are not so concerned. He says, I'm probably in a more unique situation in that we lost more jobs in my congressional district because of NAFTA than probably any other congressional district. Sid Meadows, whose district covers most of western North Carolina, goes on to say, there's a natural inclination to support tariffs in my district versus not. NAFTA was to blame for textile and furniture jobs going to China, he said. North Carolina's largest health insurer, Blue Cross, is proposing a solution to control runaway health care costs, paying people to use cheaper doctors and procedures. Blue Cross Blue Shield will offer customers between $25 and $500 per medical procedure for more than 100 procedures. The amount of the rebate depends on the procedure's complexity and the cost savings of the cheaper option. A Blue Cross spokesman also pointed out that picking a cheaper option is more valuable than just the cash rebate. Blue Cross spokesman Austin Vaverka stated that there is also the big cost-saving potential where you can shop, find a high-quality provider, and really reduce your out-of-pocket cost. Insurers for years have sought to influence patient decisions through copayments and high deductibles as a shared financial responsibility for medical costs. Blue Cross is taking the concept further by offering to share savings with the customer as a thank you for reducing costs. In the past, this approach has been tried by financially rewarding doctors and hospitals for achieving cost savings. Some healthcare experts are excited at the prospect of pulling back the veil on health care costs, saying that pricing transparency is long overdue. But others warn that using money to influence private medical decisions can be harmful, noting that not all doctors are equal. "I would caution patients to be careful," said Raleigh orthopedist Bradley Vaughn, who operates at UNC Rex. "If someone saves $500 from a knee, hip or knee replacement and suffers a serious complication, it's not worth it." Well, just a few words about this. I've debated whether to even report this one or not, but it was on the news yesterday. Ivanka Trump says she is shutting down her namesake clothing brand because of her focus on her work in Washington. That's a rare move by a Trump family member to choose between politics and business. The president's daughter and White House senior advisor said her focus for the foreseeable future will be the work I'm doing here in Washington. That's nice. And called the company's closure the only fair outcome for my team and partners, and I might add, our citizens of the United States. Trump handed over day-to-day operations after her father won the election, but continued to own the company, which raised ethical concerns, experts said. Well, Duke and Microsoft collaborate on a research hub. Duke and Microsoft have formed a new collaboration that, among other things, will see the software giant set up a new research hub in downtown Durham's Chesterfield building. The hub will operate as a shared space between Duke and Microsoft. The space under Microsoft's control, with Duke personnel embedded there so people from both sides can work together to apply machine learning and data science to applications in health. So said Larry Caron, Duke's vice provost for research. The project will also expand the university's use of Microsoft Azure cloud computing service as Duke and Microsoft researchers join forces to crunch radiological data, use mobile apps to help diagnose autism earlier, and use natural language processing to spot patterns in doctors' patient care notes. Initially, Duke and Microsoft have signed a 3-year agreement, but we would expect the collaboration to be something that would go on for some time and probably grow, Caron said. He added that it's kind of a natural thing for Duke to partner with Microsoft, given long-standing ties between the two that include those with the family of Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates. His wife, Melinda Gates, is a Duke alumna and former Duke trustee. The university has also used the Azure platform for years and sees it as the key to the project and an advantage Microsoft has over other tech industry players like IBM and Red Hat. Well, Raleigh-Durham wants to build jet hangars for the big companies. Raleigh-Durham Airport is looking for a developer to create a campus of hangars for corporate jets on about 48 acres at the north end of the airport. The campus would provide a chance for companies, other organizations, to lease their own hangars at Raleigh-Durham. Other than shipping companies, Carey's software firm SAS Institute is the only company with a private hangar at RDU now. Other private planes share space in a general aviation complex managed by two companies, Signature Flight Support and Tech Air. The airport has heard from other large companies like SAS that want private spaces where they keep their planes. So said Christy Van Alken, RDU's Vice President for Communications and Community Affairs. Companies such as Apple and Amazon, both of which are considering establishing large operations in the Triangle, would be the kind of firms expected to want a private place to park their jets. She goes on to say, "We've had lots of inquiries. General aviation traffic at RDU most recently peaked in 2006 with 59,112 flights. The recession cut the number of flights to 40,273 in 2010, but general aviation has since rebounded to nearly 51,000 flights last year. In its master plan for the next 25 years, Raleigh-Durham Airport said it expects that flights by hobbyists and individuals will continue to languish based on a decline in the number of private pilot licenses, but the airport sees growing demand for private business travel. The hangar campus would be built near the north end of the airport's main runway, adjacent to the SAS hangar. Kroger is closing three more stores across the Triangle sooner than expected. Initially, when it announced it would be leaving the Triangle market entirely, Kroger said that its 14 grocery stores would close on August 14. But since then, the company has already closed one store in Raleigh more than a month earlier than expected. And now there are three more stores, one on Roxburgh Street and Southwest Durham Drive in Durham, and 7905 Falls of the Noose in Raleigh. They are all closing early. The store on Roxborough will close July 30, while the store on Falls of the Noose Road in Raleigh will close August the 1st. The stores are closing because their inventory is too low to give customers a solid selection of food and groceries, said Allison McGee, corporate affairs manager of the Mid-Atlantic Division for Kroger. Those stores are offering substantial discounts, she added. In June, McGee told the NNO, News and Observer, that most items would be restocked until the stores closed, while others would see their prices lowered. Currently, meat, dairy, and produce items in which freshness is important to our customers will be restocked daily along with our most popular items, she said at the time. Less popular items have been discounted as we anticipate the supply will be adequate until the closing of the stores. Now, another store at 6300 Creedmoor Road in Raleigh closed on July 10, more than a month ahead of the company's original closing date. According to a statement from Kroger earlier this month, the Creedmoor store closed at the request of Crunch Fitness, which is buying the store. Well, IBM is facing more employment-related legal trouble as a trio of former managers say the company fired them earlier this year after they questioned a manager's decision to shortchange a black software salesman on a commission payment. Now, Scott Kingston, Andre Tomidis, and Michael Lee are suing IBM in New York State Court. The lawsuit filed on July the 6th alleges IBM violated New York labor and human rights laws by retaliating against them for sticking up for the salesman, which the filing identified only as by the initial J. He was due more than $1 million in commission on a deal, but received only about $200,000 because an IBM finance vice president stepped in and decided that J's commission was simply too high. That's according to the lawsuit. The vice president, Brian Malata, ordered the reduction because company higher-ups don't like it when the commission payout accounts for more than 10% of a deal's value, so they allege. Now, the three objected to the reduction because an earlier sale had yielded a commission payment of more than $1 million to a white salesman, so said the lawsuit. Both deals, completed in 2017, were worth tens of millions of dollars in revenue to IBM, and in both cases, the company's in-house commission formulas indicated that the two were due more than $1 million. The managers were under orders to act as if seller commissions for sales staff incentive, those plans are uncapped, and the payout to one received a higher level okay, the lawsuit said. But after they complained about the discriminatory treatment of one of them, IBM launched an investigation that ultimately led to their firing because they had reduced payments to one and colleague also involved in selling software to the Cary SAS Institute. Well, Amazon's annual Prime Day promotion that started this past Monday is focusing on new products, bringing Whole Foods into the process and persuading subscribers that Prime membership is worth the coming price hike. Shoppers, meanwhile, have plenty of sales to choose from as other retailers offer promotions to try to take a share of the spending. Amazon is highlighting its Echo assistants and its own brands, particularly in clothing, said Deborah Weinswig, CEO of CoreSite Research. While Amazon doesn't disclose sales figures for Prime Day, Weinswig estimates it will generate $3.4 billion in sales worldwide, up from an estimated $2.4 billion last year. Prime Day also lasts 6 hours longer than last year. Let me repeat that. Prime Day also lasts 6 hours longer than last year. Expanding Prime Day has increased the pressure on other stores and chains like Macy's, Nordstrom, Best Buy, Walmart, and Target to roll out their own promotions, so said Charlie O'Shea, the lead retail analyst at Moody's. He goes on to say brick-and-mortar retailers know that they have little choice but to continue offering their deep discounts, which is evident in the proliferation of Black Friday in July deals that are being launched earlier this year, as well as various price match offers, he said in a note Monday. Amazon created Prime Day in 2015 to mark its 20th anniversary, and its success has inspired other e-commerce companies to invent shopping holidays. Online furniture seller Wayfair introduced Wayday in April, becoming its biggest revenue day ever. Prime Day also usually helps boost the number of Prime memberships. Amazon disclosed for the first time this year that it had more than 100 million paid Prime members worldwide. It's hoping to keep Prime attractive for current and would-be subscribers after raising the U.S. annual membership fee by 20% to $119 and to $12.99 for the month-to-month. Here's a look at what's happening this year. Whole Foods in the mix. The Seattle-based company is offering Prime members who spend $10 at Whole Foods from July 11 to 17 a $10 Amazon credit to use on Prime Day, and it's more than a dozen Amazon bookstores. Discounts will expand beyond devices. Well, hundreds of farmers and other local residents gathered at the Carter Hog Farm Tuesday to respond to lawsuits they said are threatening the pork industry and other farmers. As a result, traffic was bumper to bumper in this community near Beulahville in Duplin County, one of the top hog-producing counties in the country. This is a historic event, Representative Jimmy Dixon said, the first traffic jam in the history of Hallsville, North Carolina. Dixon, a Warsaw Republican, was addressing a sea of jeans, plaid, and colorful signs that read, "No farms, no food." A series of lawsuits has hit Smithfield Foods, the world's largest pork producer. North Carolina juries have twice sided with hog farmers, dealing with smells and swarms of flies and other nuisances. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Bob Sutherland, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The reading of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency. They've served our community since 1974 and can be reached by dialing 919-781-1973.